this is another in the series. The Magic Hat, a comedy magic podcast where each show shares some of the secrets of how comedy is added to magic to entertain the masses. Here's your host for the show, Scott Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on another The Magic Hat, a comedy magic discussion. And today we're talking to a local comic magician here in Northern California. He is the owner and manager of the Sacramento Magic Academy and also runs his own training facility on top of that, where he performs and he teaches, and the company's called Purple Penguin Magic. This guy has a great personality, great sense of comedy, and a terrific magician. Let's welcome to the show Scott Smith. Scott, crowd's going crazy. So excited to have you on the show.
I'm so used to that sound.
We've not met personally, but we've crossed paths and have some mutual friends. You have been a comic magician for a long time. Maybe share with the audience, how did you get started in magic per se as an art form?
Really got started when I was 8 years old, when I saw a magician at a little carnival who did the two SpongeBob trick in my hand, and I was amazed, and I kept begging him to tell me how it was done. Turns out he actually lived around the corner from me, knew who I was, told me where to find a book at the library. So if you go get that book and if you perform the trick for me, I'll teach you some stuff. And it started then. I found the book, did the trick for him, and he took me under his wing for about 6 months, taught me quite a bit, and I kept at it, you know, for this long time, just playing with it. And then I got married, went in the service, and I got married, and my wife hated magic, so I just gave everything up.
Well, it's interesting because as a child, you were amazed and thrilled by the idea of magic. You were set upon a quest, which was to get a book and learn a trick. And then your mentor said, okay, you've done the work. I'm going to now take you to the next level and share some of the secrets of this a great variety art form. That's a really fascinating way to get started and to have built your interest in magic. And you, I'm assuming you were doing pretty much straight magic at the time.
And not a whole lot. Mostly performing for, families in the neighborhood and my parents and my friends and stuff like that. But then girls came along and,
Distractions of life.
The distractions of life.
Yeah.
And then when I got married, I gave it all up. We were married for 7 years and we got divorced. And then I got remarried, moved to Northern California, and was at this California State Fair. And there was a magician there. And I sat there and we watched. And I just got the bug again and went and talked to him and started right back up. Practiced for a couple of years and then, hung out my shingle and started, being performing professionally. And that was about 30 years ago.
Wow. Well, Scott, you've jumped through a few things. First off, I'm sorry about the first divorce, but I'm on my second marriage and think the second is best. So I'm going well, but it's interesting that because your first wife was anti-magic, you kind of gave it up. And I think that a lot of the variety arts, a lot of talented people, I won't say variety arts because it could be actors and singers, that as you mature and you become an adult, your life can take you in different ways. And plus who we associate with, our relationships have such an effect on who we are and what our interests are. If you're interested in magic and your wife goes, I'm not going to allow you the time because I'm not interested, it makes it very difficult to be proficient at that. So then you go to the state fair and you saw a magician. Do you remember who it was?
No, I don't.
Okay. So that was memorable, but, but it did re-spark your interest in the art form, and you kind of like a bicycle, you got back on. It wasn't probably as difficult to relearn and get back doing shows. Did it again start by doing family and neighborhood shows?
Yes. Yes. The reason it really sparked because I knew everything that he did. That's things that I had done before. And I'm going, you know, okay, yeah, I can do this. And my wife was interested. And so, and I started doing family. And the reason I do it, I consider myself to be a kid and family magician, but I do all kinds. I do corporate work and stuff like that. But I love doing magic for kids because I want kids to feel the way I felt when I first saw magic.
That awe moment.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really great that you are interested in a variety art form, learned it, and now you're sharing it with future generations. I think that we all aspire to do something where we can pass on something that we're interested in, whether it's, you know, drag racing or wrestling or baseball or whatever that inspires us, that gets us interested, when we could turn around and share that with children or other people, whether it's adults or children, really, mm-hmm. That's an expression of our joy and engagement with the art form. When, you know, you were doing all pretty much straight magic at this time, right, Scott?
Yes. Yes. You know, see and do what you can read. I didn't really have a personality. And then when I started, you know, I was just me, you know, and then I started watching other magicians, and we were so lucky up until recently, in Sacramento, there was a brick and mortar magic shop called Grand Illusions, and he brought in lecturers like 5 times a year. And I got to meet so many wonderful people. And one of the people who came in, I mean, there were so many of them. Oh, my God, and I just forgot his name.
It'll come back to you, but the idea is that Grand Illusions was able, as a brick-and-mortar magic shop, so now you've made a friend with the owner, you have a connection, a place to learn about and get new tricks, but he did the added advantage of bringing in lecturers, speakers, basically, to talk about the art form. What a great way to learn and experience different ways to do magic.
Yeah, absolutely. And he brought in, you know, some of the best in the world. I mean, you know, Aldo Colombini was a big influence on me. Sean Farquhar, I consider Sean Farquhar to be a really good friend. You know, one of the, you know, 2-time magic champion, 2-time fooler, you know, world traveler, but the guy's just amazing. And, you know, the nicest guy in the world. And that's what I kind of aspired to be. In fact, my magic getup that I used for many years was based on what he used to wear too. I mean, it's a big purple suit, which is part of the way reason Purple Penguin came about. So,
oh, well, it all makes sense. And obviously, yeah, the look of an act. I know Michael Finney was really good at, you know, he wore bright outfits and had his big hair,
yep,
kind of that big wave of orange hair. Larry Wilson, it's the white tuxedo. Ken Garr has kind of a connection with the 1800s and will usually wear something a little more older, traditional. And Great Scott, who was one of my regular acts, always had the kind of traditional tux and hat look on stage, black tux and hat. So every, you know, anybody in show business, you want to establish a persona on stage, and you took on the Purple Penguin, or basically a purple suit. And at what point did you start adding comedy? Because I know one of the reasons we're talking is now you're an experienced comic magician. When did the transition from straight magic to comedy magic kind of happen for you? And just to update, you learned about magic when you were 8. You had a break in your 20s because of your first wife. What age were you? You said about 30 when you resaw that show. At what age?
I was about 35 or 36 when I restarted.
So almost a midlife crisis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You could put it that way. My wife probably would too. But it was shortly thereafter. The people that I was watching, I enjoyed that. And it's the kids like the magic. Well, they like the magic, but they like to laugh. Kids love to laugh. And because I was, you know, focusing on the kids, I said, I want to make them laugh. And so I, you know, started, you know, I took improv classes and just anything I could do to, you know, to beef it up and started, you know, reading books from, you know, comedy magicians. If you don't have him on your list, a guy I recommend you get on the show is Christopher Barnes, Christopher T. Magician. That guy is just, you know, he is one of my idols. I mean, I idolize him. I'm at the end of one of his books, and it's called Be More Funny.
Right, right. Well, yeah. So what you explained earlier was, and I'm just making it reiterating for the clarification for the audience, is that you don't consider yourself a strong, gregarious personality. You weren't the class clown. You weren't the guy looking for attention. You taught yourself through reading and practicing the art of magic. And it sounds like the patter you used in the presenting the tricks pretty much was coming right out of the books. You weren't doing a lot of augmentation, but then this bug to become a comic magician caught you, and you watched Chris Barnes and others. And so you didn't take to it naturally. You went out of your way to take improv classes and learn comedy. I mean, that's a hard way to go, Scott.
I agree. And I'm still learning. Yeah. But, I've been, you know, fairly successful, and, you know, most of my shows come from word of mouth, and so I'm doing something right.
Yeah, it sounds like it's been working out for you. Now, how long, there's been several decades of your life when you weren't doing magic or you're doing straight magic. At what age or how long ago did comedy magic kind of transition for you?
I would say like 25 years ago. That'd be the closest I could say. It's about 25 years ago.
So still at a fairly, you know, midlife age, you transitioned from straight magic to comedy magic. Did the improv classes and watching people like Chris Barnes, you said was your kind of guide or kind of your mentor, was it creating patter, comedic patter that fit you, your personality and your magic that worked, or were you actually adding like dad jokes?
Combination of both. A little bit of just funny lines that you pick up. I have 40,000, you know, joke books around. And then when I look at a new trick, I try and look at it and say, how can I make that trick funny? That's the way I start. I stopped long ago, you know, trying to imitate other magicians, even the ones I really like, because I know that I'm not them. And, you know, and you can really tell someone who is trying to be somebody else and it just doesn't work. And so that little aha moment, you know, probably happened about 20 years ago. And, you know, I've worked really hard to make things my own and have my own personality and throw that in there.
That's actually great advice for anybody listening that's a comic magician or a magician that wants to enhance their performance, is that finding your own comedic voice, finding your own persona on stage as a comic magician is so important. And like you said, you can watch and learn from others, but I don't think copying people is the answer. I think you have to, as you said quite succinctly, find your voice and then just keep working on it.
Right. Absolutely. It's a constant work. You know, I know several comedians, and, you know, when I talk to them, you know, about what their process is of being funny, and they say it's a lot of writing, a lot, you know, and just, it's constant work. And I found the same way. I'm doing some of the same tricks I was doing 25 years ago. But you wouldn't know they were the same trick just because of the way I've changed it and you know, tried to make it funnier and, you know, the way I script things. And
It's interesting that you said that, because any magic trick, any illusion a magician is trying to present to an audience has been done hundreds of time in rehearsal and practice. You have to learn the moves. You have to learn the distractions. You have to get the patter down. Just like comedy, you don't just boom, say something and it's going to be funny. You have to work at it. You have to practice it. You have to do it in front of an audience and kind of hone it down. When you're interacting with an audience, whether it's kids or adult, do you find the comedy really adds to the performance?
Oh, absolutely. And one of the greatest things is listening to your audience. You know, you try something and you know, you get a big laugh out of it, you remember that. You don't get a big laugh out of it, you remember that. And then other things that you're just, you know, maybe not trying to be funny or something, but people start laughing. I'll go, you know, after the show, I'll write down exactly what was happening. What did I say? And there are things that I get laughed at all the time that I don't think are funny. And I, but I don't care. As long as the audience thinks it's funny, great.
Well, comedy is subjective. And I think it's interesting that some things that we think are funny, others don't, and vice versa. And I would tell, as a producer of comedy, I've always told young comics, you have to record your shows and play them back, because you never know what gem you might've thrown out that will really get a strong audience response that you're going to want to use again.
Right.
So my advice, Scott, is to anybody, to you and anybody doing comedy magic, much like a comic, if you record your shows at least occasionally, but you should do it all the time, you'll learn from watching your own presentation, because even in magic, you might need an out, or there's a different move that you could do, or something could be done better. And by working at it and really drilling down to both the comedy and the magic, watching yourself can help you with that. And I think it sounds like, for a guy that's, you know, relatively new compared to the people I've been in comedy with, doing comedy magic, you've really found the process and made it work for you. I think that's great. You also alluded to the fact that you'll look at an old trick that you did as a straight magician, and how do I make that funny? So one of the things I've asked a lot of other comic magicians is, what comes first, the illusion or the joke? And most say that they'll have an illusion and they'll want to find a way to make it funny. Others have said that they have a funny premise and then they create a trick around it. But in your process, walk us through, you know, let's say the linking rings or cups and balls or something that's pretty standard. How do you see it, and how did you make that funny?
At first, you know, let's take linking rings, for example. I started off doing a fairly standard routine based on Di Vernon, you know, back when I was trying to do that. And then I started trying to add some things from other shows that I've seen, and I was putting together. And I kept dropping a ring in this one move.
Oh, really?
Yes. And not on purpose, but it would drop. And I was, you know, practicing. I don't want that to drop. And so the first time that I did it, I dropped the ring. And the audience howled.
That's so true about an audience. They love it when we mess up. But that's great.
And so from that then on in, I dropped the ring. It was part of the script.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, that's how we learn from things that happen that we can't plan on. Well, tell you what, Scott, you've had some great stuff to share already. I have a few more questions for you. I'm going to bring this short session to an end and just say thanks for joining us on the podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget, if you're in Northern California, you can look up Scott Smith. He's got Purple Penguin Magic, and he also operates the Sacramento Magic Academy. He'll be back for another show. Scott, thanks for joining us on The Magic Hat, a comedy magic discussion.
It's my pleasure. I enjoyed it. I hope everybody else does too.
Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. There'll be another show next week. Bye.
Hey, we hope you enjoyed today's Magic Hat show. We want to thank our sponsor, The Wilson Method, where the seminars share Hollywood's best-kept secrets to communication. We have more in the series to come, so stay tuned, and please share with your family and friends.